Psalm chapter 23, and in particular, verse 4. Psalm chapter 23, and verse 4, where David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now let's hear the larger context of the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And highlighting verse 4 again. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Let us pray together. It's preaching time, O God, and we acknowledge that you are the preacher. We need to hear from you. We need your word. Your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. Lord, we need your word. Nothing more, nothing else, nothing less. Your word. Amen. This week we continue our study of the 23rd Psalm. Last week we looked at the provision and the plan that the shepherd offers to us, his sheep. And this week, we turn our attention to the blessed promise of the shepherd's presence, a presence that precedes us, a presence that protects us, and a presence that preserves us. I promise you all of that is in our text. Now, as we continue to unpack the 23rd Psalm, I think it's helpful to return for a moment to verse 1. To consider the sentence that sets the tone for the entire psalm. In English, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd." But where we read shepherd in English, a noun, the underlying Hebrew expresses this concept in a verb form, the verb to shepherd, a verb indicating the action and the activity of a shepherd. The shepherd is who the Lord is because shepherding is what the Lord does. That means that the Lord doesn't merely hold the title of shepherd. No, the Lord engages in the action and the activity of a shepherd directed toward you and toward me, his sheep. The verb to shepherd is used here in participle form, the intentional use of the present participle shepherd with the ing ending in English is intentional by David. My mother, Dr. Joyce Teal, the retired school teacher and grammarian, would note that David is writing to us in the present progressive tense. The present progressive tense is used to indicate an action that occurs repeatedly and without interruption. Observing this linguistic nuance of David's prophetic and poetic proclamation, Psalm 23 and 1 might be translated more literally, "The Lord is always shepherding me." The fact that the Good Shepherd is always shepherding means that the Good Shepherd is always present with his sheep. For you see, shepherding is an activity that necessarily requires the presence of the shepherd in the midst of his sheep. You'll recall from the Christmas story that the shepherds were out in the fields with their sheep, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And as we shall see this morning, verse 4 of Psalm 23 points out that the shepherding presence of the Lord may be understood as a preceding presence, one that goes ahead of us, a protecting presence, one that keeps us safe from enemies, and a preserving presence, one that keeps us from now on. Keep in mind, as we established last week, that the shepherding activity of God is individually oriented, so that while we are collectively God's flock, each of us is a sheep for whom God has personal concern. That is to say that God cares for each of us as if there were only one of us. God is not just the shepherd of the flock. Our God is the shepherd of each individual sheep. The Lord is always present with us, always present with each of us. That means that we are not nameless sheep amidst a flock of millions. No, you and I, each of us, has the shepherd's personal attention. The great God of the universe takes specific and special note of each of us, and the Lord shepherds each one of us by supplying our individual need and leading us along life's journey. God's care-filled concern for us ensures that each of us can say with confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd." Last week we looked at God's shepherding activity from the perspective of the provision and the plan that God has for us, his sheep. This week we celebrate the work of the shepherd as set forth in verse 4, where David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David reminds us of the shepherd's shepherding presence, a presence that precedes us, a presence that protects us, and a presence that preserves us. Let's walk into the text and observe the shepherd as he shepherds you and me. Right there at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That conjunction, rendered in King James English, "yea," or in more modern English, "even." "Yea, though I walk," "even though I walk," says to the reader that you got to go back and see what came before the conjunction. Knowing what follows the "yea" builds upon and surpasses what has come before. Notice that immediately prior to verse 4, David writes of the shepherd, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And verse 4 continues to build on this notion of God leading us, his sheep, and proclaims that even when the paths of righteousness along which the shepherd leads takes us into the valley of the shadow of death, we, the Lord's sheep, need not fear, because the Lord is with us. Our shepherd is present to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. That means that no matter where the shepherd leads us, the shepherd is able to keep us. If the Lord brings us to it, we have the assurance that the Lord will bring us through it. Isaiah 46 and 10 reminds us that the shepherd knows the end from the beginning. The shepherd knows what lies ahead, and the shepherd is willing and able to guide our feet. I used to wonder why our foreparents would sing and shout to hold my hand, Lord, while I run this race. They understood that even as we run, God is able to guide us every step of the way. And that's exactly what the shepherd does. He's always present because the shepherd is always shepherding. Always shepherding, always guiding us, even through challenging places and spaces. Places and spaces that David, the poet laureate of Israel, names the valley of the shadow of death. Now, biblical commentators and other literature argue about what David means when he speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. Some scholars say that he's speaking literally about death itself and the shadow that its ever-present existential threat casts over our lives. While others see the valley of the shadow of death as a reference to naturally occurring dark places situated throughout the hills surrounding Jerusalem, where the light of the sun doesn't fall because of the shadow cast by the hills and high mountains. They're places where predators, lions and bears and wild dogs and even some humans would lay in wait. Others say that the valley of the shadow of death was a real place. It's a poetic reference to a pass situated along the Jericho Road, a well-known road that passed through the hill country and stretched from Jerusalem down to Jericho. I tend to agree with this real place interpretation of the text because David's poetic stylings tend to highlight and to draw parallels between the physical world around us and spiritual matters. After all, David was quite familiar with the Jericho Road itself. As a shepherd, as a military man, as a king, David would have had occasion to travel the Jericho Road frequently. And David could testify that the Lord had kept him safe as he traveled up and down that Jericho Road. You see, the Jericho Road was the principal means of getting from Jerusalem down to Jericho and out to the cities and towns that made up the country of Israel. Since Jerusalem was the capital city, shepherds who intended to sell sheep in the big city of Jerusalem, or soldiers returning to or departing from Jerusalem, and royal caravans from Jerusalem traveling out into the kingdom, would have had to travel along this Jericho Road. Listen, you may recall from the story of the Good Samaritan that there were certain sections of this Jericho Road where thieves and robbers and murderers often lay in wait for passersby. Travelers were routinely beaten and robbed and murdered as they passed through this veritable valley of the shadow of death along Jericho's road. It appears that David is rejoicing over the preceding presence of God as he slips from this sheep shepherd nomenclature to recount his personal testimony, giving God praise for the fact that the Lord had kept him as he traveled shepherd, soldier, and king through this valley of the shadow of death known as the Jericho Road. David is trying to help us see the truth and to celebrate the blessing of the preceding presence of God. The Lord, who is always shepherding us, goes before us. I feel like shouting with David right about now. The words of Psalm 23 and 4 remind me of my own testimony that the Lord has led me through some dangerous places where I should have been beaten and robbed and killed. But here my testimony is just like David. God kept me. I wonder if there's anybody who can testify that the Lord has kept you in some dangerous places. That through danger seen and unseen, you've been guided by the preceding presence of the shepherd. You ought to shout, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." Why? Because the Lord is with me. Isaac Watts put it like this: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace, the preceding presence of the shepherd, 'twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and his preceding presence shall lead me home. Here we stand in the midst of a global pandemic. In these United States, white police officers continue to execute black citizens with impunity while mass shootings make national headlines every week. It seems like the world is getting crazier. It is the unusual day that does not bring news of a disaster, a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, a disaster that is a combination of both. Walter Hawkins was right. Tragedies are commonplace. Yet because of the preceding presence of the Lord, we don't have to be scared. Because the shepherd is with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it is because of his presence that we shall make it through. I wonder if anybody has a through praise. A through praise. I've been in some dark places, but the Lord brought me through. Listen, when I look back over my life and I begin to think about the stuff that the Lord has brought me through. And let me just tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered that the other side of through is out. I may be in the valley, but I'm not staying because the shepherd's preceding presence is leading me out. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, but the shepherd's preceding presence is always present to lead me out of life's valleys. Listen, the shout goes right there. The presence of the shepherd is always available to lead us out. But the text doesn't stop there. The text says that we not only have the preceding presence of our shepherd, but we also have his protecting and preserving presence. Where do you see that, Pastor Teal? Right there in the text where it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The protecting presence of the shepherd is represented by the shepherd's rod. And the preserving presence of the shepherd is represented by the shepherd's staff. Come on, let's walk a little further into the text. Let's take a look at the shepherd's tools, the means by which our shepherd is shepherding us. First, David notes, "Your rod comforts me." The shepherd's rod was essentially a big, heavy stick, like a caveman style club or a baseball bat. And its only use was to beat down predators. You may recall that when David applied to King Saul for the job of giant slayer, David turned in his shepherd's resume. You can read the transcript of his job interview over in 1 Samuel 17. David told Saul that when a lion and a bear threatened his daddy's sheep, David beat each of them down, killing them and rescuing the sheep from the mouth of the bear and the lion. Now, David couldn't have been more than 12 or 13 years old at the time he killed the lion and the bear. And the Bible says nothing to us about David having superhuman strength like Samson. So you see, the only way for a 12 or 13 year old boy to kill predators like a lion and a bear would have been for him to strike them with his shepherd's rod. You see, I'm glad that I have a shepherd with the power to protect me by his presence. I'm a witness that our shepherd will fight your battles. You ain't got to say nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You ain't got to cuss and fuss. You can just stand still. And the shepherd will beat down your enemies. We, God's sheep, ought to take comfort in the truth that we have a shepherd who is armed with a rod and will fight our battles. We have the promise of God's presence, God's preceding presence, God's protecting presence. And finally, the text says we have the promise of God's preserving presence. Where do you see that in the text? Right there where it says, your staff comforts me. Each of us, God's sheep, the sheep whom God's shepherd is always shepherding, we have the assurance of his preserving presence, and it's represented by the shepherd's staff. The shepherd's staff reminds us of our shepherd's preserving presence in two ways. Number one, appears in the practical use of the staff itself. And the second means by which the staff reminds us of the shepherd's preserving presence is tucked away in David's intentional choice of words. The word that he uses translated staff to us. First of all, the shepherd's staff represents the shepherd's preserving presence because it was the instrument that the shepherd used to lift sheep out of danger. You've seen a picture of a shepherd's staff, a long piece of wood with a hook on one end. By gripping the straight end and lowering the curved end down into a ravine or crevice into which a sheep had fallen, the shepherd was able to hook that sheep under its belly and lift it out.
Right.
Without the staff, the sheep would have been stuck in the pit or die from injury sustained in its fall or die from exposure or from a predator's attack. But because our shepherd is always present with us and always armed with a staff, we sheep have the promise and the blessing that the shepherd is willing and able to lift us up from the places into which we've fallen. And listen, can I just tell you, it doesn't matter why you've fallen. It doesn't matter where you've fallen. It doesn't even matter how far you've fallen. The Lord is shepherding, and his preserving presence is available to lift you up. I'm glad that I can testify that love lifted me. The good shepherd's love lifted me when nothing else could help. The Lord was present and on the job shepherding, and his shepherding presence preserved me. The Lord reached down. I know maybe you don't want to shout too much because you don't want folk to know your business, but I'll tell you, the Lord had to reach way down and pick me up. He had to reach way down and pick me up. He picked me up and dusted me off and tended to my wounds and put me on the right path. He's a very present help, present with his staff to preserve us. And while the image of the staff, its physical form, is a reason to rejoice over God's preserving presence in our lives, I want you to also notice that David is intentional in the use of the word staff. You see, in Hebrew, there are at least five different words that David could have chosen. There are at least five different words that can be translated staff. And all of them could be used to refer to a long stick with a hooked end that a shepherd would use to tend to sheep. But as a writer of the sacred text of the Bible, David didn't write under his own power. Rather, he wrote under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And that means that the words that David chose to use are important. David uses this relatively obscure word, Mishnah, in Hebrew. Obscure because it's only used 12 times in the Bible, and each time that it is used, it is only an ever translated staff. There can be no misunderstanding when that word is used, that the person using that word is talking about a staff. It's only used 12 times in the Bible, and the 12 times that it is only used in three different contexts. David is intentional about the language David uses because the Holy Ghost is holding David's hand as he pens the text. In 10 of those 12 cases where this word is used, it refers to a staff on which a person leans. In the 11th case over in the book of Judges, this particular word, Mishnah, refers to a staff used by the angel of the Lord, God's representative, to accept an offering. And in the 12th case where this particular word is used in the book of Numbers, Mishnah refers to a staff used by the elders of Israel to dig a well. So I want you to help me this morning as we do a little bit of investigation on this word translated staff. David is trying to get us to understand the shepherd's preserving presence. Watch this use of the word Mishnah, because it either means a support on which a person leans, a walking stick, or an instrument used by God's representative to accept an offering, or third, it means a tool used to dig a well. Those are the only choices available to us. Let's do some work in the text. Well, first of all, if we're talking about a support on which a person leans, you got to remember that the shepherd who is holding this staff is Jesus. The very fact that the shepherd is Jesus militates against any understanding of this staff as something on which the shepherd would need to lean. You see, God doesn't need to lean on anything. The old folk would say he's God all by himself. He don't need no help. He don't need the help of a staff. Symbolically and theologically speaking, the good shepherd does not carry a staff for his support. The shepherd doesn't carry the staff for the shepherd's benefit. The shepherd carries this staff for the benefit of the sheep. So this can't be a possible meaning. We've eliminated one. We've got two to go. Over in Judges, when we see that word used again, Mishnah, where God accepts Gideon's sacrificial offering. Gideon offers a young goat and some unleavened bread to God, and the heavenly messenger acknowledges the offering by touching it with his staff. But watch this, in Psalm 23, no offering is being made by the sheep. The sheep of the psalm receive from the shepherd, they don't offer anything. The situation in Psalm 23 and 4 is completely different from Gideon's encounter with the heavenly messenger in Judges chapter 6. So, if the staff is not a support on which the shepherd leans, and if the staff is not used to accept an offering, then we are left with only one possibility with respect to the significance of the shepherd's staff in our text. That third possible meaning comes to us from Numbers chapter 21, where the elders of Israel come together and use their staves, their mishenah, to dig a well of springing water. That's what the text says. But how does a well-digging staff help us understand that our shepherd offers us his preserving presence? So I'm glad you asked. We're ready to go home now. The fourth chapter in the Gospel of John reminds us that our shepherd knows something about digging a well. In John chapter 4:14, Jesus, the good shepherd, tells the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him will be a spring of water springing up into everlasting life." Here's the key to understanding the preserving presence of the good shepherd as we see it in the shepherd's staff. Not only does the staff lift us out of tight spots, the shepherd's staff digs within our hearts a well of springing water. That's what he told the woman at the well. "There's a well of springing water I'm going to put in you." Just as the elders of Israel used their staffs to dig a well in the desert that sprang up to provide water that preserved the life of God's people, so too does our shepherd use his staff to dig a well of living water that springs up in us, his sheep. It's a well of water that springs up to eternal life, a well that's so powerful it'll preserve us all the way from earth to glory. You see, when we accept the good shepherd as Savior, he digs a well of living water in us, a well that springs up into abundant life, life filled with the presence and the power of God, abundant life. Not just in the hereafter, but in the here and now. It's a well that saves us, a well that keeps us. It's a well of eternal and abundant life that reminds us that the good shepherd is always present with us. It's a preserving presence. I hear you, David. There is comfort in the well-digging staff of the good shepherd. The shepherd's staff reminds us that every promise in the Word of God belongs to God's sheep. I know some name it and claim it prophet told you that life more abundantly meant you're supposed to drive a late model car and live in a mansion, but that's not what abundant life is intended to be. Yes, God blesses those who serve God, but the fact of the matter is that qualitatively speaking, abundant life has nothing to do with your net worth.
Right, right.
Life more abundantly has everything to do with having the presence and the power of God in your life. It's a well dug in the believer. It's life more abundantly that says Jesus is on the main line and I can call him up and tell him what I want. Life more abundantly is a well in you that allows fellowship with the Lord, who walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. That's what a well of living water looks like. It's life more abundantly that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Life more abundantly is a wellspring that says, in this world I'll have tribulation, but I can rejoice because the good shepherd has overcome the world. It's all because the shepherd is always present, and his presence is a preserving presence. Life more abundantly is troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Life more abundantly is perplexed, but not in despair. I've got a wellspring that says I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. I've got a wellspring of life that says I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. I have got a wellspring that the Savior has dug in me. I used to wonder why the saints got happy when they would sing, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors and sets the captive free. I've got a river of life because the shepherd dug a well in my soul. Spring up, oh well, down in my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me life abundantly. That's the preserving presence of the shepherd. The shepherd's staff assures that we are able to live life more abundantly. The shepherd's staff represents his preserving presence. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt his breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus. I felt the presence of the shepherd. I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, fight on. He promised never to leave me. Never, never alone. He's always shepherding, always present. His preceding presence guides me through life's dark places. His protecting presence will fight my battles. His preserving presence will keep me till I get home. My prayer is that the Lord will help me to hold out. Walk with me, Jesus. Stay with me, Lord. Guide my feet. Hold my hand. Lord, help me to hold out. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our youth thy foes prepare. Thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, we are thine. Be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin. Defend us. Guide us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. Thine we are. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We are to enter your gates with thanksgiving and come into your courts with praise. Be thankful and bless your name, for you are the good shepherd. You are good, and you're always shepherding me. That's why I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth. My soul, my soul, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. For the Lord is present. He precedes us. He protects us. He preserves us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our shepherd is present and on the job. He's always present and looking out for you and for me. I believe I'll shout a while because the shepherd has kept me. The shepherd has provided for me. The shepherd has made a way out of no way. He's a good shepherd who meets every need.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil,
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the word of God.